In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The Feast of St. Peter and St. Paul is the main day for ordinations in the Church. Perhaps there is a practical reason in that it falls soon after the end of courses at university and theological college. But there's also a more symbolic reason. St. Peter was the chief of the apostles, and St. Paul was the one who spearheaded the expansion of the Church after its beginnings in Jerusalem at Pentecost. As the Church grew, it was obviously necessary to call and appoint leaders for the new congregations. So I want to share some thoughts about the ministry of the priest, something which is often not well understood in many congregations. Although priests are called to be shepherds, their role is more a matter of what you are than what you do. Like marriage, at ordination you become something that you were not before. And it is for life, not attached to a particular job. Similarly, unlike in some other churches, becoming a priest in the Anglican Church is not simply a matter of getting a qualification by taking some courses and passing exams. We believe that you are called by God to be a priest, and I well remember that moment. And then the Church tests the call to make sure it is genuine as far as we can determine. And furthermore, priesthood can never be exercised independently, but always within a community, the local congregation, and also the wider Church. The calling of the priest can be summed up in three words: prayer, blessing, reconciliation. To take them in reverse order, reconciliation means primarily the priest is the one who proclaims God's forgiveness. And I well remember that when I celebrated the Eucharist for the first time, the fact that I was now a priest came home not when I took the bread and wine into my hands, but earlier in the service when I said for the very first time, "Almighty God, pardon and deliver you from all your sins." And that too was the first commission that Jesus gave to Peter. Those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Jesus gave both the authority and the duty to his Church to proclaim forgiveness to all who need to be freed from the burden of sin that they are carrying around with them. In the ministry of reconciliation, the Church also witnesses that God is in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and the priest acts as a representative who encourages and enables others to share in this task. And looked at in that way, we realize that sin is much more than the things each of us do or fail to do in thought, word, and deed. It is something much wider. All the things in the world that need putting right. All that shuts us off from God. And so it's no wonder that in giving the Church in the person of Peter the authority to forgive sins, Jesus says, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven," to open up the way. And it is equally obvious again that this ministry can only be exercised with and for others. When someone sneezes, in German we say Gesundheit, and in English, bless you. But in its biblical sense, blessing is a much more weighty matter than that. In the Old Testament, it is authoritative figures like Isaac, Aaron, and the mysterious priestly figure Melchizedek who give blessings. God too gives blessings, and indeed he is the source of all blessing. To be blessed is a sign that God is with you and that he is concerned for your well-being. Indeed, to pronounce a blessing is usually understood as a way of invoking God's protection and conferring his gracious gifts. The Eucharist ends with a blessing as people are sent out to do God's work in the world. And the priest is once again a representative of the whole church, the body called into being to witness God's presence in our daily lives. And this stole that I'm wearing today shows, as you can see, hands raised in blessing. It was given to me when I was ordained as priest, made by a member of the congregation in the church where I was at the time. And the priest is also called upon to bless, to give assurance of God's presence and his grace on other occasions, especially significant events in life like marriage, sickness, and indeed death. These occasions are a great privilege when the priest is allowed to come alongside those entrusted to him. And the gift of blessing can also extend to places and things. It's a great joy to be asked to bless someone's new home, witnessing to God's presence at the very start of this new chapter in their lives. And as we saw last week, it's also possible to bless things like icons. And it's important to realize there is nothing magic or idolatrous, because we are not worshipping the images they portray. We are recognizing that they can serve the holy purpose of pointing us to God and helping us in our prayers. Because you see, Christianity is not a matter of the head or indeed of the heart alone. We believe that Jesus was fully God, but also fully human, a whole person. And it follows that our faith and the way we practice it involves our whole person too, our five senses, as well as our emotions and our intellect. And we can expect God to meet us through all of those. And obviously, again, you cannot bless in a vacuum, and the priest can only function within a community. And thirdly, the priest is called to be a person of prayer. At their ordination, priests commit themselves to a regular pattern of prayer, especially to say morning and evening prayer daily. You may say, well, all Christians should pray regularly, and I couldn't agree more. And I'm only too happy when others join me. And one reason for moving the time of tomorrow's morning prayer is we hope that extra half hour will make it a bit easier for people. But year in, year out, I have said the daily office with only the saints and angels as company. The thing is, the priest prays as a representative on behalf of those who are at work, busy with other things, who don't know how to pray or don't want to. And again, it follows that although a priest may be praying on their own, they cannot pray without others. For what are they to pray about if they do not know the joys, hopes, worries, fears, and hurts of their own flock? Priests are called to bear all these on their heart and to bring them to God. And this is especially true in the celebration of the Eucharist, where the priest is not simply reading a form of words or being a sort of conductor of the congregation or a director making sure that everything is done decently and in good order. The priest is again a representative, the one who lifts up the offering of the people, all that they have brought with them to the celebration that day. The priest holds it in the presence of God and hands it back to them, transformed and made holy. At the altar, the priest has the breathtaking responsibility to represent the people to God and to represent Jesus to the people in this mysterious living sacrifice. Again, it's obvious that priesthood is no individual task. Even when he is standing alone at the altar, the priest is there on behalf of others. And this word priest in English and in other languages, priester, prêtre, and so on, comes from the Greek presbyteros, which means elder. But in some other languages, like Spanish or Irish, the word comes from the Latin sacerdos, which means a person who offers the sacrifice, who makes something holy. And the two are in fact combined. The priest exercises a leadership role in order to make holy the offering of the people. When we pray for those who are about to be ordained or have been ordained over this weekend, we note that they are ordained to serve in a particular congregation. And this is always how it is, for a priest cannot function without people. And that's why, for instance, we always have that item on the weekly notices about letting me know if someone is ill or needs prayer for some other reason. For one thing, you don't get when you're ordained as priest is a sort of set of radar antennae which bleeps when someone goes into hospital. I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. So far from being a barrier between the people and God, as the reformers mistakenly thought, a priest is called by God to minister the doctrine, sacraments, and discipline of Christ in order to bring to life the faith of the people entrusted to them, and to maintain this faith through reconciliation, blessing, and prayer. Amen.